Okay, good morning, everyone. We are on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. So the rabbi actually got down 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Yeah, it's here. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines down. The last word on the line is Tashma. So we have like a pretty short daf today. The Gemara had inquired. The Gemara had a question. The Gemara was dealing with inferred statement, things that can be implied from your statement. So if a person left, for instance, makes a statement that a person's wife makes a neder. And then the person says, the Gemara was discussing before, if the person said either, I am being made for your nether tomorrow, which we wanted to imply from his words that he was saying that I want to be Mekayim your nether for today, but I want to be made for it tomorrow. Or if he said just that I'm Mekayim it today, doesn't mean that he wants to be made for it tomorrow. So Gemara wanted to understand what exactly can we infer from the person's statement. The final question that the Gemara had yesterday, that was discussed yesterday, was, forget about a full, we were discussing full days before, the Gemara wants to know, let's say a person explicitly, actually this is a more explicit case, it's not an implicit case, an explicit case, where the person said, I want to be Mekayim your nether for a moment, an hour, let's assume we're talking about an hour, but after the hour, he then specifically says, I want to be Mekayim your nether for an hour for today, and then after the hour, I want to thank Gabi and Shana Cohn for the refreshments for today in commemoration of the yard site, which is tonight, for Clara Oxman, Chaya Bas Chaim Leib Halevi, driven in from Lakewood. So it's driven in from Lakewood. Amazon Prime. So now again, the Gemara's question is, if a person said, I want to, let's read the Gemara actually right before the Tashma. The Gemara says, let's just start from the Tashma. So now the Gemara is going to answer again. The case again, let me just redraw. The case again is where a person said, I want your nether to be mekoyim for 1 hour, and then after the hour, I want your nether to be nullified. So Gemara says, Tashma. The Gemara wants to bring a proof to the answer to this question. Hareini Nazira. If a woman says, a person's wife says, Hareini Nazira, I'm becoming a Nazira. Vishama Bala, and her husband hears her say that she wants to become a Nazir. The Amar Va'ani, and the husband, in response to what she says, that I want to be a Nazira, so he says Va'ani. The general interpretation of the word, the Gemara's elsewhere, understand, whenever the husband says, if you look, actually, right a little bit lower, across in Rashi, V'shama Ba'ala V'amar Va'ani, Kilomar, Va'ani E'yanami Kimoseich, I want to be as well, like you, just like you're a Nazira, I want to be a Nazir as well. Kimin da Amar Hachi, since he said, Rashi says, again, continuing, Kimin da Amar Hachi, Enu Yachal Hafer Naziris Ishto. So once he's already said, I want to be a Nazir just like you are, so it means that he's accepting the fact that she's a Nazira. He's adding on to that, explaining that he also wants to be a Nazir, and therefore, Ein Yachal Hafer. So the Gemara continues, Ein Yachal Hafer. He is no longer able to be Mefer her Naziris. Va'amai, the Gemara asks, why can he not be made for her Naziros? Nema va'ani da amar, hu al nafshei, that which he says va'ani, all he's saying is that I also want, he's just establishing himself as a Nazir. Al nafshei da'avi Nazir, aval harini Nazira dila, but that which she says about herself, that she wants to become a Nazira, he takes the Bach takes out the Dalet of the Shah achas kaima, so he's accepting that only for a moment's time, and I'll explain that in a second. But after that moment, after we have to establish her at least as a Nazira for a moment, and I'll explain why in a second. But after that moment, why can he not be made for her Naziras? Why does it have to be for a moment? If you look over at the Ran for a second, Va'amar Va'ani Ein Yachal Hafer, the Ran explains, the Kevan Del Amar Va'ani, since he said about in response to her neder va'ani shehitves b'nizirusa, so he essentially is latching on to her nizirus. So galia died to dinichle. So obviously he's accepting the fact that she's a nizira because he says I want to be a nazir as well. So he needs to utilize her nizirus. So in utilizing her nizirus, he essentially is affirming at least for a moment's time her nizirus. The havale keilu ukmin l'nizirusa says as if he's establishing for at least a moment's time her nizirus. Mishum hachi en yachal ofer, and therefore he cannot be mefer anymore. So Gemara's question on that, Ron continues, is v'amai. Name of va'ani da amar hu al nafshei, that which he says va'ani is only for his own person. The havi nazir, he wants to establish himself as a nazir. Kilomer dat yeshehu nazir. Mishum hachi atis b'nizirusa. So that's why he grabs onto her nizirus. Av nizirus di la nihida al karcha sha achas kaima. So granted, we have to accept her nizirus at least for a moment's time, because in order for his nizirus to work, it has to grab onto her nizirus. So at least for a moment, we understand that he has to at least be accepting her nizirus. But that's only in order that his nizirus can latch onto something. But after that, why can't he be mefer? The boy lefer im isa. Fine. So that's what the Ron says. So then, meaning again, understandably, we understand that he's accepting her nizirus at least for a moment, so that he can establish his nizirus. But why after that can he not be mefer her nizirus? Why can he not annul her nizirus from that moment on? So Gemara says, in Yochel Hafer. So Gemara says, Lav Mishum, is it not? Meaning again, the Gemara is going. You'll see where the Gemara is going with this. Lav Mishum, the Kivan, the Kaimu, Kaimu. Is it not because of the fact that once he's already established her nizirus as a valid nizirus, he can no longer know that anymore? So you see that even if you establish nizirus, now remember with the Gemara's question about the Shah and only establishing nizirus for one moment and then afterwards trying to annul it. So the novelty in that case was because it's in the same day. So typically a husband, a father or a husband, they have an entire day. It says if on the day when they hear the neder, they want to be mefer, so they have that full day. So the Gemara's suggesting perhaps that throughout that day, you possibly have multiple opportunities to then nullify the neder. So as long as that day is still, so long as you're still in that day, even if you for a moment during that day establish a nizirus or accept a nizirus or accept the neder, you can still later on in that day retract or annul the neder as many times essentially as you want. So Gemara wants to prove from here, you see that once the husband accepts her nizirus by saying that I want to be a nazir as well, so he's establishing her nizirus at least for a moment's time, and the fact that that this brisa says that he cannot be made for her nazirus anymore shows that because he established it at least for a moment's time, he can no longer go back, retract on that. So essentially established at that moment and you cannot go back. So you see, so that would answer our question that if for a moment's time during the day you are mekayim a woman's nether and then want to later revoke her nether during that day, you would not be allowed to. So Gemara, that's what Gemara assumes. Lav mishum the kivin the kaimu kaimu, is it not because the reason why the husband cannot be made for her nether is because he was already mekayim it for a moment and therefore after that moment cannot go back on her nizirus and nullify it? Lo. So Gemara answers no, that's not necessarily the interpretation of this brisa. Kasavar, the reason why he cannot go back on what she says or back on his acceptance of her nizirus is kol va'ani kemanda amar kaim lechi la'olam dami. So we understand it's really more a little bit more specific. We interpret when he says va'ani, and this is not a global issue, it seems to be a more specific issue in this case, because he used the term va'ani, we understand that the term va'ani to be a much more emphatic term, and it's not only a momentary term, and we understand that that's really a more, it would last, I don't think it means la'olam, really, that he's going to become a nazir forever, but at least we understand that he's not just accepting her nazirus just for a moment's time, really a more emphatic expression where he's establishing her nazirus outright. He's accepting her nazirus as a whole, not just in order for him to latch onto, but he's really accepting her nazirus, and therefore he would not be allowed to emit for a nether, and that the Gemara ultimately does not resolve its question with respect to if for a moment's time you accept or uphold her nether, and then later on in that same day you choose to nullify her nether. We don't know really what the halach is, and I presumably would go, the Ron says over here, would go obviously l'chumra, which we typically go by nedarim as well. Okay, continuing in the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Amud Aleph. So we've seen this halacha before, but the Mishnah is going to spell out some maybe nuances in this halacha. Meis ha'av, if the father died, lo nisrokna rishus the baal. So the father has certain rights. There you go. When you're in front of people, sometimes you forget regular English words that you know. So the rights that a father has with respect, specifically here, to the nedarim of his daughter, so those rights are not transferred, nisrokna, transferred to the husband. So when she gets married to a husband, the rights that a father has. And we're talking about, again, the parak started out talking about a Nara Marasa, so we're talking about a girl who is between 12 and 12 and a half, so the six-month period between her becoming a Nara, and then at 12 and a half, she becomes a Bogaris, which is just a full-grown adult. So during her period of Naros, so the father still has a right to nullify her Nadarm, and when she's transferred, or she marries, or is betrothed to a husband, so that right does not get transferred. Meisa'av lo nisrokna rishus l'baal. So meaning before, again, let me spell this out a little bit more clearly. We said before that a father and husband both have to nullify her nedarim simultaneously. If she's engaged or becomes an arusa to a husband, so during the period of Naros, so we say that the father and husband simultaneously have to work together in concert to nullify her nedarim. So if the father dies during that period while she's a Nara, and she's now obviously only has a husband, so the husband cannot, she'll have to go, I guess, to a Bezdin or some other means. The husband cannot, by on his own, nullify her Nadarm. That koach, that capacity that the father had to nullify her Nadarm does not get transferred over to the Baal. Meis HaBaal, however, conversely, if the Baal died, if their husband died, and again, presumably in the same situation, Meis HaBaal, Nisrok Nishrus La'av. So that capacity, again, so when she marries a husband, so now it has to be together, the husband and father, who are nullifying her Nadarm. But if the husband dies while she's still a Nara, so the father then attains or gets the rights, the full rights, to absolve her Nadarm. So the father alone would be allowed to absolve her Nadarm. Bezeh, and the Mishnah continues, Yafe koach ha'av and koach ha'baal. So in that regard, the capacity of the father is greater than the capacity of the Baal. Because again, when the husband died, the father is able to nullify the Nadarm on his own. When the father dies, the husband is not able to nullify the Nadarm on her own. And the Mishnah continues, and there's going to be another scenario. However, the husband still, in another scenario, has a greater power than the father does. In what? Shehabal mefer bibagar, v'av inam mefer bibagar. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly what that means. But basically, the husband is able to nullify her nadarm when she becomes a woman, when she becomes a bogaris after 12 and a half. And the father, at that point, cannot nullify her nadarm anymore. She's out of his rishus, and he cannot nullify her nadarm anymore. She'd have to go through a different process of nullifying her nadarm. Now the Gemara is going to explain exactly each point of the Mishnah, try to understand exactly what exactly is this scenario. Now, the Gemara starts with the question, my taima, what is the reason? So what is the reason for what? If you look in the Ron for a second, he says, my taima, the first Ron of the Gemara, six lines up from the bottom, my taima da amar krab, my taima, the Ron says, my time alone is rokel shus the baal. So we know that the rights of the father are not passed on to the husband. The husband's rights are passed on to the father. So why is the baal any different than the husband? So my time alone is rokel shus the baal kimola av. So why are the rights not transferred to the husband just as the husband's rights are transferred to the av? So why are the father's rights not transferred to the husband? And the Ron just continues. It's just interesting, Ron, just in terms of just the syntax of the Gemara. V'hainu da'amar hacha my taima. The Ron just explaining what, because in a minute the Gemara is going to ask minolon. The Gemara over here is just going to bring a pasuk and learn it out from a pasuk. Soon the Gemara is going to ask a very similar question to say we have a halacha. Where do we know it from? The Ron just bothered. Why is the Gemara ask here my taima and later the Gemara asks minolon? If the Gemara is going to just ultimately bring a support from a pasuk, why is it asking my tama? So Ron's just explaining that the Gemara understands a inconsistency, that the husband is different than the father. So first the Gemara wants to know why are they different. It's going to bring a pasuk, and then later on the Gemara is just going to ask another, just a simple question, just where do we know the halacha from? So the Gemara wants to know again, my tama, why is the husband different in that the father's rights do not transfer to the husband? So the Gemara says, the Amar Kra, back in the Gemara, three lines up, binurea besavia. When she is in Inara, Besavia in her father's house. It doesn't say by her father. So it seems to, the way the Farshan would explain, that the way the Gemara understands this pasuk is that she's always considered to be, as long as she's a Nara, even if she gets married, she's betrothed to a husband, or she gets married to someone, she's still considered to be in her father's home. She's still considered to be Besavia. And therefore, when the husband dies, the father is always retaining, at least during her Nara state, always retaining some level of rights over his daughter. Again, obviously, when she gets fully married, he relinquishes those rights to her. But so long as she's still a Nara, binurea besavia, the father retains the rights, and therefore the husband alone, even if the father dies and she's still a Nara, the husband alone would not be able to be made for her nedarim. Now, meis habal nisrok nirshus la'av. If the husband dies, then the husband's rights are transferred to the father. Now, the Gemara asks now, Minalan, where do we see that? Where do we know that from? So, Amar Rabba, Amar Kra, Vim Hayo, Sihiye, Le'ish, Undare Hala. It says, it uses a term, she will be, twice. If she will surely, I guess the art scroll will translate, if she will surely be, Le'ish, Undare Hala, and her, and she'll, Undare Hala, and she'll, let's say, she will make a vow. So, prior to this pasuk, the pasukim we're talking about, the father's the father's right to annul her nedarim. The pasuk now says, "Vim hayosi yela ish undare ala," quotes a pasuk, "Vim hayosi yela, if she will be to a man and she will make a neder." So so if you turn to Amud Beis, so makish kodme havaya shnia, le kodme havaya rishona. So the Chazal understand that the pasuk is referencing two different. It says if she will be twice. If we break that up, we're understanding it to mean two different instances of her being married. She was married once, her husband died, and she was married again. So just like makish kodme havaya shnia lekodme havaya rishona, meaning just as in her first marriage, prior to her first marriage, meaning when she was a nara before she got married to someone, her father was the sole was the sole authority in terms of being made for her nedarim, with respect at least to her husband. So also, makom ne'avai rishona av mefer lichudei, just like before the first marriage, the father was able to be made for her nedarim on his own. Af kom ne'avai shnia, so too, if she gets married, her husband dies, let's say she assumes she's still a nara, so during her nara period, so she's a daughter, she gets married, so now while she's married, the husband and father simultaneously have to be made for her nedarim. Now the husband dies. So essentially it would be a period before her second marriage, right? She's back to her father's house. Her husband has died. So it's kind of waiting on her next marriage. So during that period, just like before the first marriage, the father was able to be made for her nedarim alone, so too now during this period, the second havaya, the second entrance into marriage, the father again has those same original rights to be made for her nedarim as well. Af kom ne'avai shnia, av mefer luchudei. So too, before the second marriage period, the father would be able to be made for her nedarim alone. And that's how we understand, again, that's how we understand that when the husband dies, when she's a nara, when the husband dies, the father then, again, has the same rights that he had before she was married and can be made for her nedarim again, so long as she's a nara. Once she becomes a bogaris, he's not able to do it anymore. Now, the Gemara says, what is this, Aleph? The Gemara asks a question. Now, that is an interesting drasha, but our case maybe perhaps is a little bit different than what you're describing. Ve'ema hani mili b'nedarim shalo nira la'aris. Maybe that's only with respect to nedarim that were not made while there was an aris around. Meaning, perhaps, essentially the neder is almost like tagged. Like, she made the neder while she was in Arus, she was married to someone. So the neder essentially is tagged almost with, the Arus now had the right or responsibility, at least, while she was married to him, to be made for the neder with the av. So now the aris is not around anymore, but it's not like a case where her neder was made only under the father's jurisdiction. The neder was made while she was under a joint jurisdiction, so perhaps that carries through, and the father would not be allowed to be made for her nedarim even after the husband died, because again, that neder was made while she was under the jurisdiction of the arus, and therefore that's a little bit, it's not like a case where she just made the neder under the father's rishus or in a vacuum. The neder is being made while she's in arusa, and therefore, and during that period, the husband and the father and husband had to be made for her neder. So perhaps perhaps that should be true here as well, where the father should not be allowed to be made for her neder, this type of neder alone, because it was made again while she was still in arusa to someone else. Ema hani mila binadarim shel niru la'aras. Av binadarim shel niru la'aras lo matzi mefer av. Perhaps even though the husband's dead now, but because she made it under his auspices, while she was married to this arus, so lo matzi mefer av, the father alone should not be allowed to be made for the neder. So Gemara says, and the pasuk is only telling us what the Gemara is trying to say is that this drasha, we're making a drasha that the father alone can be made for a nedarim. So Gemara says maybe that's only what type of nedarim is that talking about? That's talking about nether she made by her father. I mean, let's say she made a nether by her father's house. She then gets married. The same nether. This nether is established nether she made while she was in her father's house. She gets married. The same nether is still there. While she's married, the husband and father both have the ability to be made for that nether. And then the husband dies, so now the father now is allowed to be made for that nether. Again, that nether was only made originally while she was living with her father. So maybe that type of nether, the father alone is able to be made for. But if she made a nether after she got married, while she was a daughter and an arus at the same time, so maybe that nether, maybe the pasuk's not telling us that chiddush. So Gemara says that first case that we're assuming, No, that halacha that the father would be allowed to be made for her nether that she made before she became an arusa, that's a regular halacha. That we don't need this pasuk to tell us that halacha, because we know so long as she's under her father in her father's house, he's able to be made for her nether. Just because she got married, you can move her around as much as you want. Just because she got married and then her husband died, that nether was still made in her father's house. So therefore, he'd have the ability to be made for. If we have another pasuk telling us another chiddush, another pasuk telling us that the father has an additional ability to be made for her nedarim. Additional ability made for her nedarim, so we're going to go to the next chiddush, and the next chiddush would be even a nether which she made not only while she was in his house, but while she was an arus as well, a nether that she made under the husband's watch as well, even that nether, once the husband dies, the father would be allowed alone to be made for that nether. Okay, continuing from the two dots. B'zeh yafa koach ha'av mikoach ha'bal. So the Mishnah talked about areas where the father has more rights than the husband or greater ability with respect to nedarim than the husband, and also added that the husband as well, in certain instances, has a greater capacity than the father. What was the husband's greater capacity? In that the Mishnah said, Shabal mefer bebagar, the Baal was able to, a husband is able to be mefer nedarim when she becomes a bagaris. Again, when she becomes a bagaris, she's no longer in her father's rishus, and therefore the father cannot be made for a nedarim, but the husband would be allowed to be made for a nedarim once she becomes a bagaris. So Gemara is going to try to understand what exactly is the scenario in which she was a bagaris that her husband can be made for a nedarim and the father cannot be made for a nedarim. So even though there's a v'chulu, so v'chulu actually is the point that the Gemara is actually going on. Hechi dami. What exactly is the case in which the husband is able to be made for her nedarim when she's a bogaris and the father is not able to be made for her nedarim? So, ilema, if the case is talking about shekisha kishinara, that he betrothed her when she was a nara, ubagra, and then she became later on, after he was mekadesher, she became a bogaris. So, michti, let's try to analyze. Let's see if that case actually works with this halacha. Misa, motzia, well, this beis over here is going to add in some this note here is going to add in something. So Misa Motzia Mirshusa'av, Ubagros Motzia Mirshusa'av. When the father dies, his daughter leaves his rishus. In what regard? So let's say the rights that the father has over his daughter while he's alive, so those rights that a father has over a daughter are not transferred to his children after he dies. I mean, he trains bimorish things to his children. So those rights that he has over this daughter are not transferred over to his children. So meis, just like so misa motzia mirsha sa'av, so when the father dies, so the daughter leaves the rishus of the father, ubagros motzia mirsha sa'av. And we know that when a girl becomes a bogaris, so she also, the father no longer, and that's darshaned out straight from Sukkim, it says binurea besavia when she's a nara, not when she's a bogaris. So when she becomes a bogaris also, the father loses those rights over his daughter. Now, ma misa, just like by misa, when the father dies, lo nisrok rishus lebal. So just like when the father dies, the rishus that the father has of being mefer, mefer and adarim are not transferred over to the husband, af bagros lo nisrok rishus lebal. So too, just by becoming a bogaris. Again, the father had certain rights over the daughter while she was a nara. So now when she becomes a bogaris, so just because she becomes a bogaris, so the rights that the father has over her, af bogaris on the stroke of the baal, so when she becomes a bogaris, so those rights are not transferred over to the husband. So the Gemara understands that if she was a nara and then became a bogaris, so we want to say over here that if the husband, when she becomes a bogaris, is able to be a mefer her nadarm. So if the case is where she was a nara and then became a bogaris, the husband in that type of scenario would not be able to be made for her nadarm. Ella Gemara says, Shekitcha kishu bogaris. No, the case is not talking about, and the reason why we assume the case is talking about a nara was because the previous cases were talking about a nara. Just like the previous cases were talking about where the person, she was a nara, and we were talking about halachas about while she was a nara, does the father and husband have to do it simultaneously? So when we talk about a bogaris, presumably we mean she was a nara. She became now under his, after he married her, she became a bogaris. So we're assuming that meant that the husband now, in that scenario, would be able to be made for her nadarim all on his own, to which the Gemara says, and that's not true. Because she started out as a nara, he would not be able to, even if she becomes now a bogaris, he's not able to, he does not latch on, essentially, to the father's rishus that the father had over her when she was a nara. So we know that when she was a nara, he had to do it together with the father. Now when the father dies, so just like we said by a nara, if the father dies, if she's still a nara, the husband can't do it alone. So just because she became a bogaris now, while she was married to this person, he does not take on those rights of the father, again, because he originally married her while she was a nara. So Gemara says, Ella, we'll reinterpret the case. In this particular case, is talking about Shekitcha kishi bogaris, that he was mekadesh her when she's a bogaris. And we're saying that a man who marries a woman, she's a bogaris, he has the rights to be made for her nadarm, whereas the father at that point, while she's a bogaris, does not have the rights to be made for her nadarm. So Gemara asks, "Hatinina chadazimno?" That's a mishnah in. It's later on. It's in Ksuva. That's a straight mishnah. The mishnah says, "Habogaris sheshahasa yud beis kodesh." If a woman, if a man, I guess he doesn't do full nisu and he does kedushin, and then they wait 12 months. Habogaris sheshahasa yud beis kodesh. If a bogaris waits 12 months, a 12-month period was it gets to get married. 12 months, a husband has at least 12 months to start before he has to officially start supporting her. Right. So we know that the husband's ability to revoke his wife's nadarim are tied into the fact, the reason why he gets those rights is because he supports her, so he attains the rights to be made for her nadarim. So those are tied together. His support of her is tied to the, allows him the right to be made for her nadarim. So we know that if a bogaris waits 12 months, so then in that scenario, the husband then is allowed to be made for her nadarim. So if essentially what we're saying over here is that when a bogaris marries a person, he's allowed to be made for her nadarim, and that's why he has a greater capacity over the father. That's a straight mishnah. Like, we don't need to tell us that halacha. So now the Gemara is just going to go off on a tangent for a second. The Gemara is going to say, one second, what exactly, how do we exactly do we understand that mishnah or brisa? Hagufa kasha. Amrat, habogaris sheshasa shnei masar chodesh. So you said that a bogaris who waits 12 months, Bevogeres lama li shnei masar chodesh. Why do we need specific? Why are we talking about a case where it's 12 months? Bogeres belamid yom sagila. So the minimum amount that a bogeres, it's a little bit complicated, but the smallest amount that a husband would be allowed, the smallest amount of time that a bogeres can wait for a husband to be responsible to support. It depends on at what point during her bagrus she gets married, but the husband, the smallest amount of time would be 30 days. So Gemara just wants to know, why are we talking about 12 months? Really, 30 days is the amount of time that she would be, the smallest amount of time that she would have to wait for him to start supporting her. So Gemara says, no, meaning it says, Bogeres, that waits 12 months. So we understand that to mean that every case of Bogeres is going to be 12 months before he has to support her. And the Gemara says, no, there are cases where even after 30 days already, the husband has to start supporting her. So even after 30 days, he would have the right to nullify her nedarim. So Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean Bogeres who waits 12 months. It means a Bogeres and someone who waits 12 months. They're two different cases. Bogeres, vishashahasa yud beis kodesh. So it's two cases. A Bogeres, which could be 30 days or 12 months. It could be both. Or someone who waits 12 months. So in both of those cases, the husband would get, after whatever the period that he waits, the husband and now has to support her, so the husband now would then at that point would have the right to be made for her nadarm. Now, back to what our question was, Mikomakam Kasha. So again, we're left with our question. Our question was, if our Mishnah is telling us that the husband, when a husband marries a Bogeres, he has allowed to be made for her nadarm, we already know this from this clear Mishnah over here that says that a Bogeres, again, after whatever the period of time is, the husband is allowed to be made for the nedarim of his wife who was a bogeres. So Ibai Sem, the Gemara is going to give two answers. Ibai Sem, Ahacha Davka, Bogeres Katani, Bogeres Katani Hasa, Mishum Debai, Ifluge, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Kiva. So, two answers. The first answer is that, no, really the primary source of this halacha is our Mishnah. The primary source is our Mishnah. The reason why the Mishnah reviews it over there is because the Mishnah wants to bring up a dissenting view The dissenting view is, I don't know if it's Rabbi Kiva or, one second. Bogeres hachadavka v'hai dekatani hasim shen debay if we go Rabbi Kiva. So the ends up being a machlokas there. So the reason, meaning again, the Gemara here is just bringing out the stam halacha of one of those sides of the argument. But the reason why the Gemara later on, the reason why the Mishnah later on said the halacha again was because it brings up over there. If you look in the Mishnah over there, the Mishnah has a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan. So the Mishnah there in a certain sense elaborates on the halacha and brings in another opinion. That's one answer. Ibai Seima, and that's again assuming that the critical halacha is being established here. Another opinion is being brought in later on in the Mishnah. Ibai Seima, the second answer the Gemara gives over here is Bogeres Dafka. Va'adi Denasav Resha Bezeh, Nasav Seif Anami Bezeh. No. So the Gemara's answering over here is that really, you know what? Really, we really did not need the halacha in this Mishnah. But because the Mishnah started out explaining, I guess it wanted to make the husband feel good, but because the Mishnah started out explaining how the father was better than the husband, so the Mishnah also brought in another halacha, even though we already know this halacha later on, that the husband has a capacity that's greater than the father. So the Mishnah added on the halacha, even though it's a halacha that we're going to learn later on, and the primary source is later on. The Mishnah brought it in over here because it already established a precedent with respect to the father, so we added on another halacha with respect to the husband, even though it's not really essential. It's not telling us a new halacha over here. We're really early, guys, so you can finish off the cake.